Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our High Desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the High Desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Okay, well, good morning, High Desert. It is another beautiful weekend, Roxanne, here in the High Desert.
Thanks again for joining us.
I know. So excited. We are really trying to bring a diversity of guests and interest and, you know, just positive things that are going on in our community, Roxanne. And today I am so, so excited to invite this young woman, Vanessa Marie Gomez, who is just a phenomenal artist. She lives here in the High Desert, raised up here in the High Desert. And you know how I feel about that, because we always say all the good stuff, we got to go down the hill. Yeah, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. Some of it's homegrown, right? and just raised up here. But she is a phenomenal artist. And I'm so happy to invite her here in our space today to talk to us about who she is as an artist, the projects and things that she's been doing here in community.
And off the air, we got to see some of her work, and it's just awesome.
It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And so we're going to have, hopefully, a really nice conversation to share with our listeners about you, Vanessa, and the work that you've been doing and how you came to settle into becoming an artist, or maybe you were born that way. I don't know. So let's jump in. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you both for inviting me here today.
Let's jump in and talk about it. What attracted you to art? And what was your earliest recollection of when you kind of knew, this is something I want to be a part of?
Well, it started in, as a kid. I've always grown up loving to draw. And I love watching 90s. I'm a 90s kid.
Okay.
So I always watch like Nicktoons, like, you know, Doug, Rugrats. And so that kind of led me into it. And because I wanted to make cartoons. I remember my earliest thought of wanting to work in art was in elementary school, because I wanted to like make stories, and in my drawings I always have like some kind of story element to it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of led me like to where I am now.
Wow. So from a little one, you just started drawing and you were attracted. And so animation, because I think you have some experience in that. I think, as a matter of fact, you're degreed in that. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. I have my bachelor's in animation and visual effects. I have my associate's from VVC as a computer-generated arts.
Wow, from VVC.
See what I mean?
Wow.
BBC?
Yes.
We talk about them all the time.
I love BBC.
Yes.
So I'm always interested when I have an opportunity to talk to artists to find out, how do you define art?
Well, to me, art is an expression of myself. Mm-hmm. The artist, who their art is expression of their selves. And so it's important for an artist to really make work that says something to themselves, because usually if you're trying to just make art to appeal to different people, it sometimes it kind of breaks that kind of bond.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, art's just a reflection of myself, and it helps me stay calm and helps me grow and
So it really is very personal.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very personal. And it sounds like to me that you really kind of define it in that way. It's very personal. So it would also be very individual, right? So what's art to you may not necessarily be what's art to somebody else, but there's a space for it all, right? Do I have that right?
Yes. So, yeah, I believe, like, art's for everybody. So even if you can't, or you feel like you can't draw, it's art's for you, too. And any kind of work can speak to anybody and any background. So that's really, I think, the beautiful part of art is just it can, any type of art can speak to a person. So it could be just visually and music, dancing, singing. So that's like the beautiful part of art.
Art, yeah. So I'm going to ask you, because how I really was introduced to you is because you were doing this wonderful mural in the city of Victorville that is in honor of Felix Diaz, right?
Yes.
And it was a just a wonderful experience personally for me, but what I saw was community coming together to participate in creating this beautiful work of art. And so if you can tell us about some of the community projects that you've recently been involved in, where they are, how they kind of came into being, and how community was engaged in those projects. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Oh, yes, of course. So my first community-based project, so it's mostly like when it's community-based, it's you're getting feedback from the community, and also they can take another step forward and actually help paint the mural.
Wow.
So my first one was in Hesperia Lake Park, and that was thanks to Lifting Our Stories, and they're a nonprofit based in San Bernardino, and they work with youth to build skills like life skills and through outdoor activities. So that's where I met them, because they had a workshop, an aerodrome class at Hesperia Lake Park, and they had a grant for a mural at Hesperia Lake Park. So that's where I first started working in with a community mural. And so usually get feedback from the community and like what they like, because usually like really a mural, a public art, it serves the community that lives in near it. So that's important to like make sure that they enjoy it. And so I got feedback from the community there and Hesperia Parks and Rec, and I'm really grateful for Hesperia Parks and Rec for being open to have murals at their parks and things like that.
Right.
So I created the design around that, and I made a couple actually, and they chose which one they liked more, and I put it on the wall, and I kind of make like a line art version, and I label it paint by number or letter, and the community comes and they paint however long they want, and you know, you don't have to be a practicing artist to participate. So that's a cool thing that they participate in actually painting the mural. So like when they visit, they're like, oh, they help paint this.
Yeah, they're invested.
And the mural is there, right, in Hesperia?
Yeah, Hesperia Lake Parks.
Yeah.
So you can go and see it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the one, like I said, of Mr. Diaz, and that one is located?
Yes, in Old Town, Victorville. So it's in the space that's being used for HD Family Nights. So that one was also thanks to Lifting Our Stories, who received a grant from the Arts Connection and the Creative Corps in SoCal. It's a art grant, statewide art grant. So they've received that grant, and they wanted to bring more work, come back. Even though they're from San Bernardino, our neighbors, they wanted to bring more art and community back here in High Desert. So I'm really thankful for them.
Me too. I am.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so they're so cool. And yeah, and they brought me along again to work on this mural.
Which is beautiful, by the way. So if folks haven't had a chance to see it, it's right there on 7th Street. and it is where they have the HD
family night events.
And that usually takes place, is it on Friday night?
Yes, Friday. During summer, I believe it's 6 to 9 or 6 to 10.
Yeah. Awesome. And I think it's right there on 7th, and is it B?
Yeah, it's between B and C.
Yeah, between B and C. So for those of you who have not had the opportunity to see it, please get out and see it. It's beautiful, and there's such a strong sense of community that is evolving, and that's and that section of Victorville, right?
What I liked of what Vanessa said, that you don't have to be a practicing artist to be involved in this. And that just encourages those who, like me, I can't draw, but I do love the story aspect of it. And it'll encourage everybody to maybe take art classes and maybe want to learn more about art. So that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and you're right. You don't have to be a practicing artist or good at it, because I paint it. And I'm not a painter, but I will tell you that I loved the process. I love the fact that I was contributing mm-hmm. something to that and feeling a part of community. So let me ask you this question, because sometimes, you know, we don't quite understand how community and art intersect. We don't really make that connection, right? So let me ask you, one, do you feel that there is a connection? And then what or where does that connection take place between community and art?
Well, for sure, art and community are, to me, are one, they connect really closely, because I feel like art benefits community and community benefits art, because as an artist myself, working as an artist, it's important, I think, to have the community like support the yeah. local artists
yeah.
so that we can grow and want to stay. And on the other way, art benefits community, because it makes what I think is it makes people feel like happier, mm-hmm. especially during the community mural painting
yes.
for the Felix Diaz mural. Everybody's really like really happy, and they're excited, and they kept coming back for more paint. And so so I really see, like, I think art brings the best out of people to make them feel happier and wanting to
contribute. I agree with you, and I think mm-hmm. that sense of community, of us working together side by side, creating something beautiful, right? That's a
right.
good feeling all day, every day. For people who are interested in either pursuing more opportunities to express their art, learning more about it, becoming more involved in community, how can they follow you, reach out, connect with you? Is there a way that they can do that?
Yes. Well, I'm on Instagram as imaginevivid_VMG. So you can follow me on Instagram. You can see my work on online, VanessaMGomez.art. And if you're really looking into tapping more into your artistic self, I really recommend going to art events. Like we've had a Deviate art walk that was happening last year, and hopefully it happens again, but supporting other artists,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
art shows, things
art
like
shows.
That.
Yeah.
So anything that happens up here, for sure, I would recommend going there, supporting other artists, and the cultural art center that they do performances on.
Yes.
Old Town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They started their summer series. So for
mm-hmm.
sure, supporting other artists, and I would look into the Arts Connection, because they're like our art council, and they share opportunities for artists, workshops. So for sure, what I've learned is to seek out resources, because sometimes things don't come to you. You have to
seek them out,
yeah.
like you said.
Yes.
So in closing, is there
more projects, Vanessa?
More projects, or is there a mantra? Is there words of wisdom, or something that you just kind of every day I live my life by this?
Well, upcoming, we're expecting to do another mural close by in Silverwood Lake. So that's a little bit further in the year. Mm-hmm. So we should look out for that. And, well, for me, it's just keep going. And, like, I got a lot of rejection throughout my career, and it hurts, but just keep going, because hard work, I think, pays off.
And, it does. Uh-huh. I can tell you, Vanessa, it does. Thank you for coming and sharing a little bit about who you are, about art, encouraging us to tap into that, and giving us opportunities as community to come together and making something beautiful, right, on much more than just the physical level, right?
Yes.
I want to thank you for that, and I want to say to you, absolutely keep going.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
And Roxanne, we've got another extraordinary guest here with us today.
We are busy this morning, yes.
I'm really, really excited because this is my first time of having the opportunity to really have a conversation with this gentleman who's mm-hmm. relatively new to the High Desert. We have here in studio, it is Dr. Kevin Park. He is the chief medical officer at Providence St. Mary's, and he's been in that role since 2023. Is that right, Dr. Park?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to the High Desert.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're
for
glad
me.
To have you here. I did see in your background that you had experience at Martin Luther King.
Yes.
Down in L.A.
That's right.
Very close to my heart because I'm an L.A. girl. So I know you come from great stock.
<That's right.
laughs> But I want to thank you for being here. And so what we want to do today is really provide our listeners an opportunity, because there's so much that's going on over at Providence St. Mary's Medical Center in Apple Valley. And we want to give you an opportunity to share a lot of what's going on over there so that our listeners will know how these wonderful things that are taking place and how things are evolving there, and that they can be a part of, take advantage of, just have knowledge that these services and resources are here in our community. So again, welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for having me on the show. So yeah, as far as updates, I mean, this is something that I'm very passionate about. Over the past year, I think we've been very, very busy kind of revamping a lot of our services and sort of our outlook to the community. So and with that, we have many programs planned and some that have started already. So, for example, July 1st, we've launched our trauma program. So we now are designated by the county as level 4 trauma, first in the High Desert.
Wow.
We will be providing all of trauma care for the High Desert area. And just to give you a little background, the closest other trauma center is at Arrowhead Regional, which is down the hill,
right,
as well as Loma Linda,
mm-hmm.
which is 50 plus miles away. And those, a lot of the trauma situation, you know, injuries were being transported down the hill, which means increased amount of time, which we all know, like time.
Right,
is of
time
the
is of the essence.
Right.
So, Dr. Park, can I ask you, because we hear that, but when you say it's a trauma, is it a trauma level 4? Is that what you said?
No.
Oh, okay, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
What services, what does that mean to us?
And great question. So it's a kind of a medical, I should have started off with
no,
some explanation.
Okay.
So trauma designation comes in it's levels 1, 2, 3, 4. Four is of the lowest.
Okay.
And I say lowest because that's where we start with what we have. And it's traditionally sort of, I guess if you could explain it as stabilize and transfer. So what we would do is we would receive trauma injuries,
mm-hmm.
and if that patient or that injury required stabilization, as far as they were in shock or they needed an airway, they would make a stop at our hospital, needed blood transfusions or other supportive, and so we would stabilize that patient and get them ready for transfer to a higher level of care, to a level 3, 2, or 1 trauma center.
Trauma center. And so the impact, because I don't want to miss it, mm-hmm. the impact of what we now have here in the High Desert is huge by having this trauma center level 4, mm-hmm. because prior to that, there was no way to really stabilize them and then move on.
Yes, and a lot of the trauma injuries were still coming to the hospital, but they were labeled as such, and we lacked the resources. Now with the trauma designation, we have the resources, and we have the ability to bring those that really higher level of care to those group of patients.
And that's what I was going to say. So now this affords us as High Desert community to have that higher level of care in those situations.
That's right.
That's wonderful. And I just didn't want us to miss that because I think that's pretty substantial.
Yes. Well, here's the other thing that sort of is a symptom of bringing that level of care up is we attract talent. So I'm getting calls from all over the place.
Yay.
One of which I'm very excited about is we're working with another surgery group. We just brought four, and we'll be working on two more surgeons that are very highly trained to come work as trauma surgeons at our hospital, which
means
for the High Desert, now we're getting inquiries about you know, other services, orthopedics, vascular surgery, neurosurgery, which just means that we're going to be able to provide those services. So we have a website that you can reach. It's at providence.org/High Desert.
Okay.
And a phone number, it's at 760-242-2311.
Great. And then with that, I know that Providence St. Mary's does a lot in the community. And I will say that, you know, one of the things is I think we've been so busy doing things in the community that we haven't really shared and put a spotlight on all that goes on in the community. Are there things that you want to share, Dr. Park, about community or how community can possibly get involved? I know that there's a foundation. Any of those type of things?
So community outreach events I definitely wanted to highlight as we get this new trauma program started is we have plans to do the community outreach about pool safety, about heat exhaustions, and just making having classes out there about making the different public health dangers.
Right, and so you mentioned pool safety.
Yeah.
And the other was heat exhaustion?
Yeah, heat exhaustion, especially in the hot summer times, seatbelt classes and things of that nature. We definitely want to make sure that we want to prevent a lot of the injuries instead of having to deal with them after the fact.
Well, I think it's so timely that we're talking about those things, especially summertime here in the High Desert. Definitely pool safety is a concern and issue, and it should be for any and all of us who either have pools or take our kids to the pool or ourselves even, right? And then heat exhaustion, are there any kind of tips or anything that you can share with us about heat exhaustion, especially as we're experiencing these triple-digit days? And I'm thinking more so about our kiddos and our senior citizens.
Yeah, Regina, I think you hit the nail on the spot. It's when we talk about heat exhaustion, you have to think about the most vulnerable population, and you just hit it. It's the young and the old who have a really hard time, or it's more of a challenge adjusting to the quick change in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have sometimes very cold mornings, and then by afternoon it'll be three-digit temperatures, and then we're back down to really
cold. Right.
So adjusting to that is again, the very young and the very old. And especially if you have any other chronic illnesses, it's probably exacerbated by, these temperatures as such. So very important thing. We keep saying hydration.
Yes.
And I think our society as a whole, we're doing much better. I see a lot more folks carrying around water bottles and drinking out through the day, which I think is very great. One of the things that I am a proponent of is let's also be very cautious of overhydration. Yes, you can drink too much water.
Okay.
So especially if you have medical conditions that are and you're very sensitive to, we call it fluid overload or having too much water, things like patients that are on dialysis or patients who may have heart failure, other lung conditions, you can get too much water. So you have to be very, very cautious that you're not overdoing it, but we definitely need to stay up with our hydration.
And Dr. Parker, let me ask you this. Electrolytes.
Yes.
Right? Because we also hear, you know, water, of course, but then your electrolytes. So, you know, products like the Gatorade type of products. Yes, no, maybe, some.
And I think that's a maybe.
Okay.
It's definitely yes, because it does help to a certain degree. We also have to be aware that more is not better, especially in that area. a lot of those products have extra sugar and things in that,
okay.
that if you have, let's say, diabetes, you might be a little bit more sensitive to, and that
okay.
you might not be able to handle that kind of sugar load.
Right.
So, yes and no, and I think maybe it's again, okay. within moderation and always kind of keeping track of how much.
And then that might be something that each individual wants to have that conversation with their physician, yeah. right,
yes, you should
to find out what's going to work best for me, especially to weather this heat.
That's right.
Right? And I would say the same thing for our kiddos, right,
yeah.
is to keep them balanced and hydrated. Great. Any other tips?
Yeah, and the other thing is to avoid that really daytime temperature, going outside, staying indoors while during the hottest period of the day. Really take advantage of the early morning hours or maybe in the early evenings where, going for a stroll at 1 o'clock in the afternoon probably isn't a great idea.
You're right.
Until it cools down a little bit. But, but take advantage of the cooler temperatures and
mm-hmm.
just stay in, stay hydrated, and stay cool.
Great, great. Is there anything else that you want to share with us that's currently going on at St. Mary's that you think community needs to know?
We have in the plan, so this is probably a little bit ways out. We are working on plans to develop a mobile clinic.
Yes.
What we want to do is put caregivers in a mobile van / RV in a type where it's a mobile clinic. It has a full service in there that we can see patients in.
Yes.
We'll go out to some of the areas that that services are not so available.
Yeah, some of our more rural areas.
Rural areas, right.
Yeah.
And be able to go out there and provide those services. And as we get our residency programs and such programs up, they'll also be able to help with that.
Yes.
And get experience going out into the community and doing that kind of work. So
that's
something
so
in the future.
Well.
Yeah, but we're very, very excited about that program.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be looking forward to that. I'm excited to hear about the mobile clinic because I definitely know that it's something that's very needed. That's the one thing about the High Desert. We are such a large region, and it is very remote in some areas, and then access to especially quality, high-level health care is just, just by virtue of transportation, right, being able to get to it. So being able to take something like this to people so that they can at least get the fundamental screenings and fundamental basics of care, right,
yeah.
is hugely important. And, I have been involved with St. Mary's for a number of years, so I know that serving the community is right there at the top of the list. Maybe, again, we can say what the website is so people have access to going there and learning more
sure.
about what's available.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody out there in the community. As much as we are involved in the community, I also see the amount of commitment from the community to for the hospital as well. So I commend every member of the community because it's just a wonderful place to be.
Yes.
This is where I got my start when we first moved here. So this is,
yes.
Love the area. Again, that website is providence.org/High Desert, and that phone number for information is 760-242-2311.
And Dr. Park, thank you for coming today and sharing with us and bringing such good positive news of things that are happening and things to come. And we're going to invite you back. You have an open invitation anytime you want to come back and share what's going on that's going to best serve our community. We want to hear from you. So thank you again for all that you're doing. And all of those who helped to make St. Mary's what St. Mary's is. We appreciate you.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at roxannesgaffiti@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our High Desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the High Desert, Provident St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.